Start your day at the Torah way, Rabbi Moti Posen.
Seeing as we are Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, right now there's no secret, Pesach's coming. In fact, there's a machlokes rishonim if Shloshim Yom is dafka by Pesach or by Uyom Tovim. Either way, by Pesach it certainly is. So all the Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, so we can discuss, come out almost anything. Seeing as most things aren't get to Pesach, there's so much to talk about. B'dikas chomets, b'chiras chomets, chomets neiksha. You have matzahs. Matzahs got all his halachas as well. Ma'am shalom, who leashes the matzahs. Kiddush, Seder night. Cholamoid, yontov, sfiras oime. The list is endless. Everyone thinks about a different thing when you mention the word Pesach. My daughter told me, the teacher wrote Pesach on the board and asked every child, what comes to mind when you see the word Pesach? So with the kids, it comes that, you know, yontov presents and clothes. You get a little bit older and it changes. And it comes to things like B'dikas Chometz and spending lots of money. But really, Pesach is Man Cheresimu. It's our yontov of feeling like a Ben Chorin. You feel like a Ben Chorin. You check your bank account, you see it's all Ben Chorin. There's many aspects to Pesach. Now, it's a little bit early for Pesach still. We're not mamish holding by Pesach. So a few halachas which are good to know already early in the planning stages. The first thing to know, of course, Pesach always begins with B'dikas Chometz. Now, B'dikas Chometz, only B'dikas Chometz, there's Bi'ul Chometz, Mechiras Chometz, all different aspects of B'dikas Chometz. To start off with the most widespread minhag probably when it comes to B'dikas Chometz, that is Mechiras Chometz, selling Chometz. Now, selling Chometz is not so simple. You have to know exactly what's going on, and there are many times where you may end up with problems with Mechiras Chometz, and you may want to find out beforehand exactly what's going on, because it could affect different things. There are really three reasons why people sell Chometz. One reason is because, probably the most important reason, you want to avoid doing B'dikas Chometz. If you sell the area that has got the Chometz in, so you've sold your, whatever, let's say it's your house, you've got a house you're not using, that house you've sold, once you've sold it, there's no chiyuv b'dikas chometz anymore. Why? Because it's not your house anymore to worry about the chometz in it. So that's the first reason why people sell chometz. To avoid the chiyuv b'dikas chometz. Now this is not so simple. Why is it not so simple? Because many shtoris, if you go to the Rav and you sign your b'dikas chometz shtar, many of the shtoris say on the shtar, on the document that you sign, it has a list of different stories of different halachim, a list of the areas in your house, sometimes has a list of the types of chometz you may be selling. And there are many of these documents, many of these contracts, you have to look at as a legally binding contract, which is technically what it is. But we don't realize, a lot of times you sign something, you have to always understand what exactly is going on here. The marshal, many times people are relying on het iskas, they're signing het iskas. You have to realize, het iskas is a legally binding document. And if you don't look at it like that, we have, as I saw recently, someone had, he was going through with a big loan, a lot of money, and he had one contract in regard to the loan, and at the bottom he said, this is the only legal document negated to this whole transaction, meaning there's no other document at all. What about the head desk? So I saw the head desk said the same thing on the bottom. This is the only legal binding document negated to this loan. Now firstly, a head desk, it's not a loan. Secondly, if you have two documents that are stereo, if you come to court, they'll probably throw both of them out. So this head disc is a waste of time, meaning you borrowed the rivers, which is a deraisa, meaning you can't pay back the rivers. Someone told me just yesterday, Dan, he's dealing with a case now, someone didn't do head disc right, and it cost the guy $12,000, £12,000, because he made a mistake. You have to always know, when you're signing these documents, what exactly you're signing. People signing head discs and selling their chomets and all sorts of documents, you have to know exactly what's going on. Someone asked me that 3 years ago now, it was on Pesach, he told me that his friend didn't want to sell whiskey. He doesn't like to sell real chometz. A lot of people have this meaning, not sell real chometz. So he didn't want to sell it. He had a £15,000 whiskey collection. He didn't want to sell it. So this guy told me, his friend asked him, can he sell it for him? So he said, yeah, no problem. Give me the whiskey and I'll sell it for you. So I told him, no problem. It's no problem at all. He gave you the whiskey. It's your whiskey. You could sell it. But I said, what are you going to do after Pesach? So he said, after Pesach, he'll give the whiskey collection back to his friend. I said, why are you doing that? it's your whiskey collection. He said, no, you only gave it to me to sell. I said, really? So then it's chometz. And he said, all goes in the bin. Either all goes in the bin or belongs to you. There's only two options here. It's definitely not his. He told me, no, I'm a nice guy, I'll give it back to him. I said, you're a nice guy, give it to me. Sell it, give the money to stock it, you do all sorts. Why, you like this guy so much? Do you normally give out 15,000 pound presents? Maybe I should get to know you. He's giving back this collection of whiskey, which is not the first guy's whiskey. So I said, don't give it, you've got to be crazy to give it back. Why give him 15,000 pounds worth of goods for no reason whatsoever? So he said, he came after me, the guy called him up, when can I fetch my whiskey? He said, your whiskey, which whiskey? It's my whiskey. Said, what do you mean? I gave it to you only to sell. So he said to him what I told him, Monashach, either it's mine and I sold it, or it's yours and you have on Chomes and Pesach and it goes in the bin. So you have to always realize what's going on here. The master was very upset, which is good, because then you realize that it's not a joke. You can't have your cake and eat it. Either it's yours or mine. You can't say no. It's my whiskey, but you're selling it. So I told him at the end, you know, the guy's very upset. Give it back to him, but keep the most expensive bottle for yourself. I told him, I don't like whiskey. I said, okay, fine, sell it. Pour it down the drain. Whatever it is, just made the point. You realize this whiskey is not his. If he thinks for a second it's his, the whole thing is also bad chila. Also bad no. He can't even sell it. He said, also bad no. Means the guy would be stuck. He said, the whole crate of whiskey, he wouldn't even be able to sell it. So either it's yours or the bins. If it's yours, you're a nice guy. You have to get the whole collection back. That'd be so nice. So you have to always realize what's going on. If he's selling the chomets, someone else told me that his wife worked in a certain moises in town, and he didn't want to sell his chomets. He didn't want to sell real chomets, and he had some expensive chomets. So she worked in this moises. This moises, a lot of times, you have a big moises, big institution, they can't not sell it. They've got too much chomets not to sell. So they sell the chomets. So she took all the chomets and dumped it there in the kitchen, and after Pesach, she picked it up. Now, they didn't sell her chomets because they can't sell her. I can't sell your car. They can't sell her chomets. He didn't sell his wife's his chomets because it wasn't in his house and he didn't know he was selling real chomets. In fact, on the shtar says all different types of chomets you have in this property. So this chomets was never sold. So not only he didn't sell her chomets, he had a problem on Pesach, his food's now also ba'achila, also ba'ano. You have to always realize the sale, it's not something to be taken lightly. You've got to check exactly what goes on.
Case where he gave him the whiskeys, right? I'm selling it to you for 10 days.
You mean Maton Maslach, though? Oh, so that the Shulchan Aruch says no. Even though he says, the Mishmur says, yes, the Mishmur says, I feel like it works. Here, no. Now, if he would have sold to the first guy as a proper sale, and say, if you don't use it within 10 days, I want it back, but like we do to the guy, that's okay. But he didn't give them as a present. Really, that would be a good idea. Give it to the guy, you know, the same as the guy, give me £10 now. If you don't, you know, finish off the payment, then it comes back to me, and he'll be able to sell it on. Stop, he'll be able to sell it on. You have to see. It's not so much that because it's not his to sell. Okay. But he didn't even know, he just gave it to him, dumped it in his house. That is a waste of time. As we be better, someone is worried about selling chomets, he wants to give it to someone else. Better sell it yourself. Because if you give it to someone else, at least do it properly. Give it to someone. No, I'm a ton of that is not good. A sale may be good. That I'm not sure about. A ton is definitely not good. The second guy selling for the first guy, it's not his to sell. I can't sell something for you, it's not mine. Oh, we'll get to that. Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. His question is as though, you don't want to sell chomets. I guess I don't want to sell real chomets. Why don't want to, okay, so a little bit, step back a bit. Why don't people want to sell real chomets? Because there's many pikpukim on this whole mechira. There's a famous story with the Chasam Sofer in Breshburg. What happened was, they made a law at the time that any sale, any proper commercial sale that happens in Breshburg, the governor of Breshburg at the time said all has to be done in front of him or one of his aides. They've got to be there, they've got to watch it, they've got to stamp on any sale. Chasam Sofer has a problem, it comes Pesach, he wants all the chomets, and the guy's not available, he can't get hold of the governor at that time. He says, come in a week. He'll be stuck. Has he sell the chomets? So he made an appointment with the governor and he said to him, what should I do? I want to sell the chomets for Pesach. Either give me a specific date or we're going to have to work something else out. So the governor said, what's it all about? He told him, we sell chomets, we get it back. He said, for that sale, it's fine. You don't need my signature. Just do whatever you need to do. Which implies that he looked at it as not a real sale. It's like, yeah, do, don't. Okay, one guy's buying all the shops and all the chomets and everyone's houses and all the bliss and everyone's mixable and kenwood. He said, no, don't worry about it. It's not a real sale. After the chomets got nervous, everyone was relying on this to sell their chomets. The governor himself said, if this went to court and it eventually reached the top, he would have to pass on it, this guy. He'd say, nah, it's not a sale. If it's not a sale, what's going on? We're relying on this to have chomets.
There's many, many such stories. I was talking to a Rav, he used to be a Rav in Brazil, and he told me that he was doing Mechira with a guy, and he told the guy, now sign here, and I'll take the money, now pick up, you do a kinyan chalipin, pick up a tissue. And the guy himself was laughing, his head of it was really funny, he picked up the tissue and he was waving it about, right, what do I do now? Turn around, jump around. The whole thing was a joke to him. Yeah, I'm buying your chomus for £10, sure, makes sense. I'm going to buy it, I won't buy it. He said, the whole thing seemed to him like such a joke. There's many, many such horrors on the sale. Is it shach to even sell if people are selling players? Is it shach to sell players? Is it shach to sell something that you don't want to sell? The marshal of the guy would come, say, okay, I'm happy, I'm going to buy it this year. Halpin's, Cowboy, Habers, and Kosher State, all the shops in town, I'm going to take all. There'd be a big problem. Come to Motzei Pesach, everyone wants chomets, there isn't chomets. So you tell the guy, come on, sell it back to me. If you're going to say that, then what's the sale? It's not a genuine sale. Right, let's say he comes with a full amount of money. There will still be a problem because these shops have to keep in business. The shops have to keep it. They can't really come on to Pesach. I'll take them a week or two to get stuff in. I'll be a problem. So they'll come begging me and please sell it back to me. So if you come to sell, you can't say, don't buy it. Okay, if you buy it, let me buy it back off you. So the sale is very questionable. Now, of course, we do it, and it comes from a Tesefta already. It comes from one of the earliest Makurs we ever have, a sale taka works. But you have to realize that there are many Achronim who didn't like the whole idea of the sale. Because of this, so people rely on a sale. Why do you rely on a sale? So he says there's three reasons to sell. Number one is to avoid particular chomets. Number two is you don't want to be over by the Rabbi Motza. You don't want to have chomets. Is there Isa to have chomets in your house on Pesach? And number three is after Pesach, if you have chomets, it's chomets over the Pesach. You can't eat it. So there's three reasons why you do a sale. Now people don't sell chomets, but they go to the shop after Pesach and buy chomets. Some people do, some people don't. So how's that? I don't understand. If you don't believe in selling chomets, you don't want to sell chomets, what's going on? First, you sell errors in the house, you don't want to do a bidika. Secondly, you go into the shop afterwards and buying chomets. I don't understand. It's no good for you, why is it good for them? The answer is, these three aspects of selling chomets are really three different aspects. Number one is bidika's chomets. Bidika's chomets is a takonos chazal, it's a misad rabbanon. If you sell your chomets and thereby avoid doing bidika's chomets, worst case, you missed out on a misad rabbanon. Whereas stage two of having chomets in your house is the Isa. Balerah, Balemotzah, of course, that's much worse. So that, you don't want to sell chomets. Whereas to buy chomets after Pesach, again, is a takonos chazal, is a drabonon, to buy chomets for Rav Pesach. So clap of the din of the drabon, there is a drabonon of eating chomets that was around over Pesach, now you can rely on the sale, people rely on the sale, and buy it from the shop. But they themselves don't have chomets in their own house of Pesach, because the middle stage, number two, is the Isa. So number one is drabonon tikkus chomets. Number three is drabonon eating chomets shavu'la Pesach. Number two is the Isa, having chomets in your house, that they certainly don't want. Mamela, they will happily buy chomets off the shop. He wants to sell his chomets, it's his problem. But after Pesach, is the drabonon that already on the sale. But klapa, selling my real chomets, which I have chomets at home, that people, a lot of people try and refrain from. So, those are three reasons why you sell chomets. Now, if you go through each one, there are many questions on it. Number one is, you sell your chomets to avoid a bidika. Now, people know there's two sales they do. There's Mechiras Yud Gimel, Mechiras Yud Dalet. Make it very easy and simple. This year, Pesach is Friday night, don't get a shock. And there's two Mechiras, Yud Dalet is obviously Erev Pesach, which is Friday, and Yud Gimel is Thursday. Those are the two Mechiras, Thursday and Friday. What's the difference? And Mishmur brings the Machlokes. If you have chomets in your house, comes Thursday night this year, there's a man of B'dikas chomets, you take out your candle, you're about to make a bracha, and you've got chomets, you know there's a big box of chomets somewhere in your house. But this chomets, you're selling tomorrow to a goy. That means it's contracted, that you're going to sell it, you haven't sold it yet, but you're going to sell this chomets tomorrow to a goy. Do you have to do a B'dika? The marshal, I rented the house. Erev Pesach afternoon, I'm leaving the house. I'm leaving the house, and the guy is taking the property. Do I have a chiv b'dikas chomets? It's not going to be mine. The whole reason why I check the chomets, so Pesach comes, should not chomets. And Pesach comes, I won't be in this property anymore. Or the chomets will be sold to the guy. Chomets that I'm selling, do I have a chiv b'dika? Mishmur brings a machlokes about it. The Chai Adam says yes. The Chasam Soif and others say no. And as Mishmur says, it's a big machlokes, you should avoid the shayla. So, comes our house, you want to do B'dikas Chomets this year, Thursday night. Friday morning, the Rav is selling you Chomets for you. So, do you have a Chiv B'dika? So, it's a big Machlaikas. How do you avoid the Machlaikas? Mishmur Brura says, you should avoid it. How do you avoid it? You do a Mechiras Yud Gimel. You sell it on Thursday. I mean, Thursday night comes as my B'dikas Chomets. I've already sold my Chomets earlier. I've already sold my Chomets Thursday afternoon. Let's say, the kitchen, the dining room, whatever it is, those rooms I don't want to do a B'dika to, I want to lock them away.
I sell them on Thursday afternoon. Comes Thursday night, it's Mambrika, there's no khir, it's not mine, it's the guys. No problem. Problem is, many people use a shtar from the Rav, and everyone uses a shtar from the Rav, and there's different types of shtars. Many shtars, especially chul shtarets, the shtar says the places you want to sell, all the types of chomets you want to sell, and as an insurance policy to make sure you're not even is a chomets, many shtars write in, and any other chomets in my house that I do know or that I don't know. That means every chomets that I have in my house is sold. Question is, if you do Mechir Yud Gimel, you sell that Thursday afternoon, the earlier sale, it's all sold. Comes Thursday night, take out your candle and your torch, you're about to make a bracha on Bedikas Chometz. I don't understand. You make a bracha on Chometz that you don't have. You've sold all your Chometz. How can you make a bracha on Bedikas Chometz now? The bracha la'atala. You make a mitzvah shekit shalom v'sleis v'tzvanu to look for chod, apiyo Chometz, which is part of his Bedikas Chometz. You don't own any Chometz. Every crumb in this house belongs to the goy. So you got a problem. More than that, you want about 10 pieces of chomets, it's his chomets. You want to eat chomets that night after Bedikas Chomets, you're very tired and exhausted, you go to open your last piece of cake. What's going on? Again, if it's not yours, it's the goy's. The next day, you burn your chomets very religiously outside, you burn the goy's chomets, it's not yours. No problem. Oh, so there's two mechiras. So first we're dealing with the earlier, we'll deal with the second one soon. So first you deal with Bechir's Yud Gimel. The mile of Yud Gimel again is because you, Lamashal, you've got your attic, your loft, you don't want to check it, you probably have chomets there anyway, you're not sure, it's a massive job, sell the whole thing, no one's there, lock it away, sell the whole loft. So if you're selling your dalot...
You don't promise the empty properties all over the place, then you need Bechir's Yud Gimel for those properties.
Yes, as well, people don't realize, if you have someone owns properties, he has to have them check every property. If you don't check every property, there's many shahs as well with a tenant leaving in the middle of Pesach. The property comes back to you with all the chomets in there as well. You gotta watch out. Someone asked me last year. He was doing a letting for a short-term letting, and the guy wasn't happy. There was a whole mix-up with the money. Eventually, the guy said to me, "You know what? It's fine. I'm happy. I'm not gonna make a fuss. Just when I come to the property, make sure there's a case of beer there." And he said, "No problem." He didn't realize. He checked his calendar. It was Pesach. What's he meant to do? A case of beer on Pesach? No problem. So there was no solution to this case. The only thing was he put a big voucher there for Tesco, £25. Obviously the guy was not as happy. He wanted his case of beer instead. But you got to always realize, if you have, Lamash, you have a property, which you know a guy is leaving on Pesach, you got to check out what to do. It's a big shaila. I have to check with the Rav how to write it in. Because all the property with the chomets will all revert back to you as the owner on Pesach. I was by the Rav last year, someone was there. He said to me, "I need to write down every property I have." I said, "Yeah," he goes, "What happens if I don't know all of them?" So wow, can have your number. Maybe we'll talk later. But you've got to know every property you have, and you don't know if they're empty, and if they're going to become vacant on Yom Tov as well. You have to know exactly what's going on. So what's the aid? So you have a property which is not rented out. You've got your own property, your house, your loft, your attic, your sukkah, your chomets kitchen. You don't want to do bedika, it's such a big job. You sell it. So again, if you sell it, your dalad, you've got big machlaikas, or you have a chiv bedika. Even though it won't be yours when Pesach comes in. But now, the Zman bedika this year, Thursday night, it's still yours. For another few hours till Friday, 10 o'clock, it's all yours. The Rav only sells it at 10 o'clock. So it could be you've got a chiv bedika. How do you avoid it? Sell Yud Gimel. Sell it the earlier sale Thursday afternoon. The problem is, if it says in the shtai selling all the chomets I have, you can't make a bracha that night. Some people avoid it. Lamash, like him, the Rav last year. But if you sell any, go buy bread afterwards. That's what you could do. You can go. You can go Thursday night, which is not advisable, because you're going to... You don't know if they're going to have... Okay, you can buy biscuits, but bread's not always so... They have any chomets, buy it after you've sold it, it's not included in the sale. It's another thing you got to watch out. People do bechirs, you have gimel, then they buy chomets, they drive to their parents-in-law, or they go out on the outing, they buy some biscuits, it was never sold. You only sold the chomets that was in your house at the time of the sale. You bought more chomets that night, you got to always watch out with what sale you're doing, how the sale works. So last time I came to the Rav, I did the bechirs, the gimel, I saw the shtar. Didn't make any sense. I crossed out the whole shtar, turned it over, I wrote my own shtar on the back, and I wrote that I'm selling all the chomets in my house, Yud Gimel, except for one room. One room, that room, I'm not selling the chomets. What do I gain? Number one, I gain, I can make a bracha, no problem. This room is vada in mine, the chomets in this room is never going to be the goy's. Number two is, I put the chomets in there that we're going to put the 10 pieces, we're going to burn, we're going to eat, it's all in that room. It's not the goy's. The chomets in that room belongs to me, not to the goy. Then you have no problem. The whole house is sold. No chiyah b'dika. You do a b'dika because you should be doing a b'dika anyway. There's no chiyah b'dika. If you miss something, it doesn't matter so much. Whereas this room is properly mine. It doesn't belong to the guy, and I could do a b'dika.
But if there's a property somewhere, You know the address, but you don't know where it is. What's the chashash?
No, because you can't own, you can't own chametz. Maybe, yeah. Okay, if you don't know where it is, maybe. Yeah, if you don't know where it is, maybe it'll help. I'm not. Yeah, it's a good Torah, I'm not sure. No, there's no chiv for me to bedik in your house. It's got to be your chametz. If you have chametz by me, you're not allowed to, but I'm not even an Issa. So this is Rabbanan to have your chametz in my house. That's why the guy with the whiskey as well, he had Yana's chametz in his house, whose house? No, you're over, not me. So if I sold to the goy, it's the goy's chametz by me. I shouldn't have it. Unless you lock it away into mechitza. But I don't have a chiv b'dika. I can make a bracha on a chiv b'dika on the goy's chametz. So, Be'etzim is no esteraisa. Chazal says you should put mechitza, which is what we do. We sell, we look. Yeah. But Be'etzim, you let all pass McDonald's on Pesach and stay as long as you like. Sorry? Yeah, you in your own house. In your own house, if it's a goy's chametz, there's no esteraisa. You got esdrabon on it, you have to lock it away. You shouldn't be going to. Actually,
why don't you just sell on the first sale all the chametz that I am not aware of?
Oh, so someone at that hora, this was someone to tell me yesterday, he said to me that any chametz which I'm going to find, I'm going to eat, I'm going to burn, obviously it's not in the sale. So it's an ashtickle theory. I don't know if it's true or not. And again, everything in the sale has got to be legally binding. How would it work in a court of law? I don't know. But it's a real contract, this. It's a regular contract like any contract. And if there's any big book of anything which looks a bit like a joke, I don't know if it'll work. It'll come to court and they'll just throw it out. So you always know exactly, is it a valid contract, this, with the guy, they're selling this chomps, that chomps, and how exactly it works.
So
if
we're working with you, there's no problem. It comes to work and bring the family.
If it's his, no problem. Yeah, it happens all the time. A guy comes, she has whatever, and she brings. I actually had it by my parents 1 year. Someone came, one of the Yitzhak person, one of these people who a little bit more on the interesting side, and he had loads of bags. And I saw one of the bags slipped open, and there was a packet of Tesco sandwiches in there. So my father invited him for Yontov, come inside, for the Yontov meal. And I realized what's going on here. He's got chametz which belongs to a Yid now in our house. So I don't know what to do. I was a little kid. I told my father, he goes, no, I don't believe it. It can't be. You know, these good Jews, they don't believe anyone has chametz. The man said there were sandwiches there. So I was a little kid. I wasn't sure maybe I should take them, chuck them out. Once we're touching them, you've got Shaila Mukta as well. You've got to be aware. You have chametz. One year someone had, it was one of these very, very smart people that pulled all their chametz out in the streets. And it rained, and it came into one mush. It was Weetabix or something. So you have like a giant bowl of Weetabix on your road. And everyone walks past, gets on their shoes and in their house and on their carpet. You always be wary. If you have chametz, is it chametz? What type of chametz? What exactly is happening? So back to our sale. So what I did was, I sold the whole house except for that room. Then I've got no problem. You've got to make sure the chametz you want to eat or burn, or the 10 pieces you're going to hide, is in that room. Because there's no other room, it's in the other room. It gets sold along with everything else to the goy. And you can't burn it, you can't do anything with it. It's got to be in that room. Then you have no problem at all. So that's one eitzah. Now that's all in regard to Bechir Yud Gimel, early Bechir. Why would you Bechir Yud Dalet? I do the second Bechir, I do the one which is going to take place Friday morning, 10 o'clock. Then it comes Thursday night, it's still mine. The problem is, we said the Mishpura brings a big machlek about this. Mishpura is saying it lakula. He says, if I'm going to sell tomorrow, do I have to do a bedika today? That means I've got my loft, I'm going to sell it Friday morning, do I have to do a bedika Thursday night? And that's a big machlokes. So Mishpura says you should do mechiras yud gimel, different eitzes. But now I'm flipping on its head, thinking lechumra. I'm going to sell chametz tomorrow, so now I want to do bedikas chametz. How can you make a bracha? In your contract tomorrow, which you signed last week, which the Rav is going to give to the goy tomorrow, it says you're selling all your Weetabix and shreddies and biscuits and cakes, and then at the bottom it says, and any other chametz I have in my house. If you're selling any chametz in your house tomorrow, Mishpura brings a machlokes, can you do a bedika now with a bracha? So you've got a sofer bracha here. Oh, but seeing as it's not going to be yours with Pesach, the only b'dika is to avoid chomps on Pesach. When Pesach comes, it won't be mine. So as machlokes achronim, is there a chiv b'dika now if it's not going to be mine on Pesach? So that's the big machlokes achronim. So if you do mechiras yud dalet, you got the same problem again. The ma'aseh in Eretz Yisrael, most contracts, what they do is the rabbanim they do, they write on mechiras yud gimel, they don't write all the chomps in the house, and yud dalet they do. So they got a problem with the second mechira, because Taka says, all chametz in my house. So how are you making a bracha the night before if you're going to sell it tomorrow? And here in England, by some rabbanim I saw, they have the same shtai, they just write a different date on it. It's Thursday or Friday. If it's Thursday, you have an even bigger problem. Not only you're going to sell the chametz, you have sold the chametz. Thursday afternoon, 6 o'clock, for Shkia, the Rav sells it to the goy. Comes Nacht, 7:30, you want to make a bracha, it's ready, sold to the goy. All the chametz in my house. How are you making a bracha on this bedikah? Therefore, the eitzah is, you write on the shtar that you're selling all the chametz in my house, except for one small area. then that area is a chiv b'dika with a bracha, it's properly managed, it's never going to be the goyis. The problem is you lose the insurance policy, you've lost the fact that if there is chometz there, it's not sold. Why is it global sold chometz? As an insurance, I'm guaranteed, worst case scenario, I'm not going to get Esther Aisa, it's all the goyis. This small patch, you got to watch out for. Because if that's not sold, then any chometz there will take abuse. Yeah, you could be mafri, you could do bittul, all differently, for sure it works. Yeah, lemaisa, you don't have to sell, there's no halacha you have to sell. What it used to be, the b'dika, you did bittul and finished. He had chometz in the house, too bad, I did everything I had to do. I couldn't have done more. We do mechira, it's one of the luxuries we have. We managed to sell and avoid any, even suffix, you may have had chometz. There's many reasons to this. The most reasonable reason is because people start getting confused and complicated. And if you're right, except for this room. Oh, no, I'm saying it's a sofik on the bracha. So they're going to tell you it's a sofik, it's a bracha. Lemaisa, they're going to tell you as well the sale. I shouldn't tell you this, but the sale is questionable, seeing as you'll be selling lots of chomas this year, as every year. And so they'll tell you lemaisa, it's only a sofik. And be'etzem, it could be as well, the shtickle Torah said before, that the chomas that I'm going to burn, that I'm not including in the sale, because I burn it before the sale takes place. The sale takes place at the last possible minute. By then, I've burned whatever chometz I want to burn. So that chometz is not in the sale. I can't sell that. I'm burning it. The sale's 10 o'clock. 10 to 10, I burn it. So that was never around at the time of the sale. So it was never included in the sale. So that chometz was never going to be sold. Again, it's all shtikl chter. Again, the b'dika works. Just to clarify, it's a sofik on the bracha. So there's a hiddur to do this, but you must know exactly what you're doing. If you're right, except for my front room, and you realize you didn't go through the farm shranks, when they asked you, you may have had chometz in, you have a problem. So what I do is I write the floor space in my room, which is the most simplest room without any cupboards. Got a room, just floor, just the floor space in this room. And that room, there's no chometz there. You can come in and do a bedikah in 5 seconds. You look around, you're done. There's no corners, there's no holes, there's no cupboards, there's no fridges, and nothing. Just the floor space in this room. Some people do an amma by an amma, which is also a sofik. There's a din mechir and an amma by an amma. A din bedikah. So you do a room if you can, a room that there's nothing in it. A walk-in cupboard. Okay, maybe you got a problem with the clothes. Or you do a walk-in cupboard, just the floor space. Not the items, not the fridge, freezer, the clothes, the cupboards, the front shranks, nothing, just the floor space. Then you have no shadow at all. Everything's solid except for that room. You come inside, do a proper b'dika there, with a bracha, your bracha should be on that room. And then you do the rest of the house, no problem. Your bracha is chal on something real. But the reason why I don't advise is because people are going to run into complications. Again, it's a suffix on the bracha. So, normally suffix on bracha is lucky, you don't make a bracha. But if someone did, it's not so shver. But that would be, it's just the interesting point how Mechira works, and you always be aware of other side effects and all the collateral that may come out of this Mechira you're doing, whether it's your Gibel, whether it's your Dalet. So those are the three reasons why you sell. Number one is avoid the Bdika, which is very negative because you have a house, and it's already got a flat here, you have a house, you have 3, 4, 5, I don't know how many floors people have nowadays, and it's a massive job, and you don't want to check the whole house, no problem. Section off whatever you're not using, cover it, right, sold, sell it, and there's no Chiv Bdika. Even though we said the actual sale, there were a lot of achronim didn't like it because it's very questionable. But clever the mitzvah rabbonon of b'dika, then for sure you can rely on it, and that was always the meaning people sold to avoid the chiv b'dika. Then the second stage, over by the rabbi lemotze, people are not so happy about that because it's questionable how the sale works, and therefore to have real chometz, many people are making not to have. Whiskey is slightly different. Whiskey is a shtigla machlekes chaznish mishabura. How you view it, is it chometz gomel, is it only toitzah of chometz? People have big collections, may rely on this for the whiskey. It doesn't mean you rely on it for everything. People come with a box of shreddies and a pack of biscuits. There's no reason not to have it. You chuck it out. It gets more complicated than that. Someone last year had a child. He had a box of chocolate digestives. We know chocolate digestives cost about £100 a packet these days. And he had a whole case of them. So you're talking about, I don't know, it's like gold nuggets, these things. And he didn't know what he meant to do with this box of. So he went to the master of the Rav and what to do with it. But normally, just because you have some chometz doesn't mean you should still be selling. You say, I've got this. Anyway, sometimes he sells chometz because they have so much flour. You're selling flour, whatever it was. Have so much flour. Flour, you know, is sprayed and it's got water in it. It's chometz. Have so much flour that I'm anyway selling chometz. I explained to him that flour is a big machloikas, is a big sofik if it's real chometz. Mishpura brings down to sofik. It's not so posher. Flour is chometz. So if you want to sell it, it's sofik chometz. But don't go then and sell all your real chometz if you can avoid it. Comes to a few packets of stuff, you can check it out, burn it. For sure, do that. If you have a shop, it's one of the downsides of owning a shop, that you have to sell the chometz, you know the brira. But the reason why people are mad is because these questions that there are on the mechir. Again, we're not saying it doesn't work. This mechira is not a recent thing, it comes thousands of years old. But if you can avoid it, you avoid it. And the third aspect of the mechira is chametz shel erev Pesach. Klape that, you want to come to Pesach and eat your chametz at home. So it could be this was chametz shel erev Pesach. You buy it from the shop. It could be a little chametz shel erev Pesach. But you wouldn't know if it's derais if you buy it from the shop. Whereas your own chametz, you would be. Okay, so that is basically the yesod of selling chametz. Then you come to the actual mitzvah of bedikas chametz. There's a mitzvah of bedikas chametz. It's a long, tedious job. And if you're selling most of your house, and even then, Mishmura says, in regard to letting women do it, he says, Fisha Abdika Kelchosa Ish Batirich Godl. It's a Tirich Godl, it's a long, hard job. Fish Lochashem is Asluv, Leibotku, so a woman or children shouldn't, he says he shouldn't do it, he should do a man himself, because you rely on other people, it's a long, hard job, and any long, hard job, the guy might give up. Therefore, you should watch out and try and do it yourself. Now, it comes to Bedikas Chametz, people as well, I'm not sure how, but you go to some people's houses about 20 minutes after Nacht, and they're ready with their coffee and cake. They've long finished Bedikah. Now, if you're checking your entire house, which is what you're doing technically, then it shouldn't be so quick and easy. If you're selling, you're selling. A room that you never brought chametz in, you don't need to check. But what's a room you never brought chametz in? It's got to be a room that you know for sure. Never throughout the year, there was ever one time that you, anyone you know, parents, children, sister, brother, grandchildren, no one ever brought chametz in this room. Someone has a flat loft, you have to pull the ladder down. Then you can be sure, place your schach goes in there. That no one's been to. But anything else, people say, yeah, my kids don't go upstairs with chametz. Now, that is obviously not true. We live in 2019. You can tell your kids what you like and stick all the traffic lights on the stairs as much as you like. Chametz will go upstairs. So, anyone who says no chametz upstairs, if it's an older couple and they don't give out chametz and the kids come, they give them and they watch them the whole year, then could be there's no chametz upstairs. But normally there's chametz upstairs, and upstairs means everywhere upstairs. You can say high cupboards the kids can't reach, maybe not. But the kids chuck it in. It's in someone's house, and he has a very, very tall ceiling with a ledge. And he said to me, oh, up there, for sure no chametz got. I said, how do you know? Kids, we decided, we had a big argument about it. He pulled out his three-meter ladder, climbed up, and there was a chocolate, one of these lahits up there, chametz. The kids were chucking one Shabbos afternoon, their stuff up there, and it got stuck. He had chametz up there. There may be okay anyway, because you're not going to end up going there on Pesach, so you may have that hitter. But etzem, any room in the house, and any cupboard, and you go to your cupboard, you're full of shoes, and who knows what. Sometimes he tipped up one of his old boots, and out fell a pack of bizzly. You always know that anywhere in the house, but etzem, where shaykh for chometz to get. Unless you know, if you've got a couple, and they're not running around with chometz, and their grandchildren, don't come. Sorry? Kemach. Flour. What are you saying about it? That what? You mean buy a kosher Pesach? Yeah. Yeah. That would be no problem. Yeah. That's the reason why people who do. That. Yeah, that for sure is not chametz. Yeah, we're talking about. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. That's another thing that people do. They start early. Now, we're running out of time. I was going to discuss this, but we're managing out of time. But we'll discuss it just quickly. The biggest problem with that is that once you do a bedikah, you've got to ensure that no chametz comes there again. You get these people already by Hanukkah, they've had to clean the entire house. It's beautiful. But if you have anyone around, you have any normal functional stable home where people are running around with chametz, you got to have one of these dysfunctional homes where no one's allowed to take chametz upstairs. But a normal home, the chametz goes everywhere, and the children or grandchildren everywhere. You can do all the bedikah you like, but it's a waste of time because once you've finished your bedikah, unless you lock the door, lock it away, or a cupboard that you seal, you know no children or adults are going to have a chametz. But any time you may have gone upstairs with a biscuit, cracker, wafer, something, bread in your hand, or any of the children may have, your whole bedikah is in the bin. So people do a bedikah very early, it's beautiful. Comes Erev Pesach, they've got to start the entire house again. Unless they sectioned away these areas, they know no one came near this area of chametz. But if you do a bedikah and you don't ensure that no one comes to that place again, Shulchan Aruch talks about a mouse, but the Ravid, the Mishra brings from the Ravid, other Rishonim, there's even a child. You give a child some chometz, but you have to check your entire house again. People in bed, give Shabbos party, husband goes out to shul, the wife comes out an hour later, the kids were an hour with chometz by themselves, all your bedikah has gone in the bin, and you've got to start from scratch, all over again. So that's fine to do. You must watch out exactly how you do the high cupboards, so you sure the kids won't get to, and you'll be careful yourself, and the children won't manage to reach it. But to do a room that the kids have access to is completely worthless. People do as well, they do the attic, they do the loft, and then their married children come home with their kids, and don't bring chametz upstairs. And they're like, yeah, sure, we're not going to bring chametz upstairs. Now they've got their suitcase full of chametz. They didn't do bedikah on any of their stuff, they put out all their stuff, they brought from Eretz Yisrael, their packets, and who knows what, to keep them going until Pesach, and there's no food in your house. All that is a problem. They've got to do bidika again in that room, because your whole status of a mokum baldok is lost. There's another problem with this as well. The other problem is the many achronim who say that you can't do an early bidika. Why can't you do early bidika? There's two reasons. One reason is shloili chalbi and bidika lebidika, which means chazal musakan the mitzvah bidika chometz on your dalet to do it early. You're changing. It's like lighting menorah today. You can't take a mitzvah and adapt it how you like. It's got to be your dalet. The second reason is they say the chazal made a bracha on bidika your dalet. If you do early, you can't make a bracha. Says the Mishabura, you can avoid both problems. How do you avoid both problems? Number one is you leave over a room to do on your dalet. On Leil Bidika's Chometz. Why? If you want to say that Chazal said you can't change in Bidika, that means that Bidika, the idea of doing Bidika at the right time, can't be lost. As long as you do one room, you're fine. The mitzvah Bidika you make. Number two is you're losing your bracha. Yeah, you're losing your bracha on all the other rooms, but this room that I leave over, I'm not losing my bracha. So you leave one room over to do on Leil Yudalet, you've got all the milas, you haven't lost your bracha, and you become the mitzvah bidika kilchasa. So if you want to do an early bidika, no problem. But two things you have to remember. Number one is, no access to anyone with chometz from the time you finish bidika. That means it's locked away completely, no one can get the chometz. Number two is, you leave over a room to do on Yudalet, and you have no problem at all. Every bidika as well, we know it's got to be done at night. Bidika during the day is not a valid bidika. Therefore, people do early bdikas, you could maybe do from Shkia to Mr. Drabon on Greenland, on Suffolk, but certainly not in the day. So, you want to do a bdika, no problem. It comes these weeks now, people have their cleaners or whatever, someone, them, their wife, someone's cleaning out the cupboards, beautiful. Clean out the cupboard, leave it empty, wait till Nacht, look inside, do a bdika, put the stuff back, you've done your bdika. But if you just clean the cupboard and put it back, you still need a bdika. Sometimes we changed over from Chometz to Pesach, his whole Chometz kitchen, cleaned it, papered it, put in all the stuff. So why don't you bedika on your kitchen? He goes, nah, it's all kosher Pesach. Beautiful, where's your bedika? If you don't bring Chometz into your kitchen, where do you bring it? So you've got to empty your entire kitchen, could be, maybe a terrible. But the etzim, you'd have to bedika. People clean out their freezer, all clean, put up between the Pesach stuff. Where's your bedika? Everything that had Chometz in is a dim bedika on that place. So it may be empty, maybe clean, hoovered it, brand new, looks like new. Still there's a chiyah bedika on this place. So whenever you do clean for Pesach, you must always leave it till Shkia or till Nacht better, wait, quick bidika, once then bidika, then you can reload whatever you want. But if you didn't, you may have a problem of having an error that you never did a bidika to on Pesach. Okay. Chalam Sakhar night. Chalam Sakhar night.
Hey.